As we turn to a portion of God's Word this morning, I'm going to spend majority of our time this morning, I believe, in Romans chapter 1, if you would like to turn there with me. I want to look at some thoughts that the Apostle Paul had here as he is writing this letter by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the saints that are in Rome, both Jews and Gentiles. He has not yet been there. His missionary journeys have not yet taken him to Rome, but he's writing in anticipation of going there one day. I just want to pick up here reading in verse 15 and think about a few things this morning here related to what the Apostle Paul says. He says in verse 15, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Paul says a ready declaration of a truth within him. He says, "I'm ready to preach the gospel." He says, "As much as in me is, I'm ready." Do you know if there's ever a time that any man anywhere has ever preached the gospel, has ever truly preached the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven above, it came from within him. It came from heaven above, and God worked through his heart and his spirit for the gospel to come out in words that God's people were able to understand. In other words, you can't take a man, you can't take an ordinary man and send him to school. You can't send him to preaching school and try to teach a man how to preach. That's not how it works. In fact, I would go so far to say this morning that the preaching of the gospel, true gospel preaching, would be that when the Holy Spirit attends to the words that are being spoken. It's just as Elder Tom Griffin mentioned yesterday in his sermon, you hear the words of my natural voice, you hear it with your natural hearing, but that's not how the gospel is spread and preached to God's people. Yes, you're hearing the natural voice, you hear it with your natural ear, but it doesn't do anything for you unless God attends to it. I was very interested. I was very mildly pleased when I turned that sermon on. I had already started thinking about these verses and thinking about what Paul was saying about the preaching of the gospel. And then Brother Tom lit in and started preaching kind of along those lines. And it really kind of confirmed in my mind, I think this is what I want to try to speak on today. But the true preaching of the gospel is when God takes the words of the minister through the Holy Spirit and he causes you to hear the voice of God speaking to your heart. You hear the natural voice with your ear, but God speaks to your heart. The true gospel message speaks to your heart. That's the intention of the gospel. That's why you cannot take a man and send him to preaching school and teach him how to do that. In fact, you can't teach any man. We can't. There's nothing you and I can do to cause a man to preach the gospel. Only God can do that. Paul says, as much as in me is. You know how the in me got there? God put it there. You remember the circumstances of Saul of Tarsus? You remember what he was doing? Well, he was persecuting God's people. He was so happy to be spending his life's energy as to tracking down Christians and persecuting and arresting men and women. Anybody that called on the name of Christ, that's what Saul of Tarsus wanted to do. I'll tell you, that man wasn't interested in preaching. He didn't have preaching on his mind at all. And lo and behold, God did something one day. God struck the man down on the road to Damascus, struck him blind. They got up, they led him by the hand, and went to Damascus. And 3 days later, he went to a man named Ananias. Ananias came to him, and he laid his hands on him, and he removed the scales from his eyes. And Saul of Tarsus got up and immediately was baptized. And you know what the next thing he did was? He began to preach the gospel. There was no seminary that taught Saul of Tarsus how to preach the gospel. God put something inside of that man. He literally flipped a switch by the power of God. The heart-changing, life-changing power of God. He literally flipped a switch in Saul of Tarsus, and the man got up and began to preach the gospel immediately. Began to preach about the one that he hated so much. Just literally days before. Only God can do that. As much as in me is, God put something there. And I want to look at something that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 real quick. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 about the preaching of the gospel. In verse 16, Paul writes, "Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." You see what Paul's saying? He says there's been a necessity of preaching the gospel that's been laid upon him. Who did that? It was the Lord God. God put that necessity upon Paul. He said, it's been laid upon me. He says, though I preach the gospel, he says, I don't have anything to glory of. I have nothing to glory in myself. I can't claim any glory. There's no preachers today that can claim any glory because they sometimes preach the gospel when God blesses them to. Paul says, I can't claim any glory. He says, because this necessity was laid upon me. You go back and read what Jeremiah said about the preaching of the gospel. Jeremiah said that the word of the Lord, he said the word of the Lord was a reproach unto him. It said it caused people to reproach him and to look down their noses at him and to shun him and to say ugly things. It says, and he said the word of the Lord that he spoke as a prophet of God, it said it caused him to be in derision from people around him. They laughed at him. They made fun of him. They shunned him. They mocked him. It was not easy for Jeremiah. Jeremiah was sometimes referred to as the weeping prophet because he wept many times during his ministry. Paul says, I can't glory in the fact that I preach the gospel. He says, God laid a necessity upon me. And he says, in fact, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Jeremiah described it. He says, I made the statement. Jeremiah says, I said, I will no longer speak in his name. He says, but God put a burning desire in my heart. He said, he put it in my heart and it shut up like a fire in my bones. He says, I had to preach. I had to speak in God's name. And that's the way it is with every true gospel preacher today. God has put a fire in our bones that cannot be quenched. Now, you can quench the Spirit of God in this way, in that you can rebel. You can try to rebel against God just like Jonah did. You can try to get on a ship and take a ride to Tarshish, but it's not going to do you any good. God will track you down. He's not going to give up. You're going to preach if God puts it in your bones. Paul says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. There's nothing any more miserable for a man that's been called of God to preach the gospel for him to not preach it. There's been so many times that I have wished that in my own efforts, in my own feeble efforts, I have wished and I have prayed so many times, I wish I could do better. There's been times early on in my ministry I thought, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm terrible at this. It's just, I'm not going to do this anymore. But here, 20 years later, here I am. I'm still trying. I have to try. I know I fail a lot. All my ministry friends that are in the ministry, we feel like we fail quite often. But we have to try because God's put something inside of us. The only time you'll ever hear the gospel preached in your life is when it comes from a man that God called to do it. And God gave him something in his heart and in his bones to do it. Paul says, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. And he says, for though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Paul says, I'm not technically obligated in servitude in any way to any man. He says, but yet I made myself a servant that I might gain the more. You know, that's all that a preacher is a servant unto the church. He's a servant of God. He serves God and he serves the church. If he's been called to pastor a church, he's a servant of the church. He's not the Lord of the church. He's not the CEO of the church. He doesn't make all the calls. He's a servant to the church. The church decides what to do and who should be preaching and different aspects of the operation of the church. The pastor's a servant to God's people. And that's exactly what Paul says here. Though I'm free from all men, I've made myself a servant unto all that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. He's still talking about the Jews there. Paul was a Jew. He says, but there's a sense when I preached and I ministered unto my Jewish brethren, he says there was a sense in which I became like them. He was a Jew, but he says, I sympathized and I mingled with them. I wanted to be like them. You know, I understand what Paul says. God's people, we come from all different backgrounds, don't we? We come from so many various backgrounds and diverse backgrounds, different places. But you know, when God brings a man to and calls him, as a church calls a man as a pastor, and God causes that man to feel led to want to pastor a particular church, you know what he wants to do? One thing he wants to do, he wants to feel like he fits in with them. And you know that that's exactly how I felt. I feel like I'm just like you guys here. Though I come from a state far away, I was raised and lived most of my life there, but yet I feel like this is my home now. I've only been here 3 years, but I feel like this is home. There's no other place that I want to go. I feel like I'm one of you. I think only God can do that. God puts those feelings in the minister's heart. And he says, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain some of them. What does he mean by that? Why did he want to gain some of the Jews? Well, he's just trying to help them along with the understanding of the gospel. He wants to save them by the preaching of the gospel. That's what the gospel does. It saves you and I right now in a timely sense for the time and the world in which we live and our lives that we're walking before God. Right now, it saves us. That's what the gospel does. And that's what the desire that was in Paul's heart. He wanted to save his Jewish friends. And then he says, to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, of course, but under the law to Christ, he says, he's talking about Gentiles here, he says, that I might gain them that are without law. God gave Moses' law to the Jews, but he says, as far as the Gentiles, they didn't have that law to live under, but he says, to them, I wanted to become one of them. I wanted to be like them. Why? Why'd you want to do all this, Paul? He says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Paul says he is willing to do whatever it takes to be like the people that he's trying to preach to and to feel accepted by them. I feel like I understand what Paul is trying to say there. He says, I am willing to do anything in this world to try to save a few of God's little children from ignorance. You remember what his great desire was in Romans chapter 10? What did he want to do? He said, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul wanted to save people. That's all he was concerned about in his ministry, is that he wanted to save people. And he says, I love my brethren. I'm an Israelite. He says, I love my brothers and sisters that are Israelites. He says, but my goodness, I just want to save them. I want to save some of them. And of course, we have looked at that before. We've talked about it. What did he want to save them from? They were all going about trying to follow Moses' law, and they thought that they could attain righteousness before God simply by following Moses' law. And of course, we all know that's not how you become righteous. You cannot do it that way. It's not by our works. It's not by the keeping of the law. It's not by doing certain things and saying certain things. He says, he told him, he says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Our righteousness is imputed from Jesus Christ. That's how we become righteous before God. It's because of the work that Christ did. But what was Paul doing? He wanted to save his brethren. Save them from the ignorance of not knowing that. Well, I think that carries over here all the way over to in 1 Corinthians when he said, all of these different people that I traveled among and that I preached to, both Jews and Gentiles, he said, I wanted to be similar to them. I wanted to fit in and I wanted to assimilate with them so I could save some. You know, some people, I've heard people make the statement before, well, you know, if the gospel cannot help save somebody to heaven, he says, why would anybody go to such great lengths to even try to preach it? Well, look what the Apostle Paul did from the time that God struck him down on the Damascus Road and he put a burning desire shut up in his bones to preach the gospel. You know what he did? Until the rest of his life, probably about the next 30, 35 years until he was martyred, you know what he did? He preached the gospel so he could save some for right now in the world in which we live in a timely sense. It was important to Paul. The salvation that we receive right now from the gospel was important to Paul. Look at the travels he did to try to go and speak and to help plant the churches and to help speak to those churches and educate them. Look what the efforts he made. Look at many of the efforts of men today to try to do the same thing that understand how important it is that we have this salvation that Paul is speaking of from the gospel. So very important. Paul says, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I hope none of you this morning are ever ashamed of your Savior. I hope that you're never ashamed of the fact that you're called a child of God and that you're a Christian. Because, you know, there are certain afflictions that come with it. There are, the Bible speaks about the reproaches of Christ. Paul speaks to Timothy, talks about the afflictions of the gospel. Did you know this morning that it won't always be easy for you to follow Jesus Christ as a faithful disciple, it's not going to always be easy for you. Did you know sometimes when we claim the name of Christ, did you know sometimes that people will shun us because of that? I have people that I meet sometimes and they seem pretty friendly and pretty relaxed, and the moment they hear that I'm a minister, you can just see their countenance change. They're no longer interested in conversation, quickly dies off, and they'll turn and start talking to other people. They're not interested in having conversations with Christians. Maybe you've experienced that in some ways. But I would hope that none of us would ever be ashamed of our Savior. Paul says, I'm not ashamed. He tells the people at Rome, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, it must have been a little bit hard for Paul around Jerusalem, wouldn't you think? He was Saul of Tarsus, and you know how he was very, very prominent in the religion of the Jews before his conversion by God, and before I believe that he was regenerated on the road to Damascus. He was so prominent in the Jews' religion. Then he takes this one trip to go to Damascus, and lo and behold, the next time some of his old friends see him, he's preaching the gospel of the one that he hated so much. Don't you think that some of them made fun of him? Wouldn't you imagine that there were a lot of people that probably shunned him, people that used to be his friends in the Jewish religion, and now he's preaching Christ, and they began to make fun of him. And I'm sure he was reproached in many ways. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel I preach. I hope you're never ashamed of your faith this morning. I hope you're never ashamed to tell anyone that you're a disciple and you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the man that has saved you from your sins and saved you from the second death. We're never ashamed of him. He said that he told Timothy in 2 Timothy, he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. That was, I believe, toward the end of Paul's life when he wrote the letters to Timothy and to Titus, the young ministers. And you can see the heartfelt concern that Paul had as he wrote to Timothy, and he told him to not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, because he knew what's coming. He knew that the ministry of young Timothy would be difficult. He knew that he would face afflictions. He knew that people would try to shame him for doing that. And he said, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. He says, nor of me his prisoner, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. I don't really want to take time to talk about that this morning, but I hope you know that when God calls a man into the ministry, when God calls a man to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are some afflictions that will come along with it. It's been quite severe for some men. But afflictions of preaching the gospel of Christ, they come along with it. But Paul is trying to encourage young Timothy. He says, be a partaker of those afflictions according to the power of God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company. Did you hear that? Jesus said, we are blessed when men hate us. He's talking about unregenerate people. He's talking about the wicked in the world who do not like the fact that you are a Christian, that you are a lover and a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus says you're actually in a blessed condition when certain men hate you and they separate you from their company. That happens sometimes, doesn't it? It happens at school. It happens at work. It can happen in the business world. It certainly happens from time to time. But Jesus says, you're in a blessed condition when that happens. He says, and Jesus says, and they shall reproach you. They'll make fun of you. They'll look down upon you. They'll try to shame you because you're a follower of him. And they'll cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. There's people today in our country that are trying to portray God's people as being evil because they follow Jesus. Isn't that something? Never thought we'd come to see that in our day and in our time. People trying to say that you're evil because you follow Jesus. And you're so far away from the mainstream thoughts that you should be having. I'll tell you, this world's lost, is it not? There's a world outside of here that is so lost and undone. And God has taken the wisdom of this world and he said he's made it foolishness. Jesus goes on to say, he says, in the next verse, he says, when people do that, he says, you're blessed when it happens. And in the next verse, he says, you ought to rejoice and leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. In other words, when men make fun of you here in this world, he says, rejoice and leap for joy because you're one of my children. And for my name's sake, he says, because your reward is great in heaven. I hope you always remember that. Our reward is in heaven. It's not in this world. We're just pilgrims, strangers, sojourners. We're just passing through here. This is so temporary for you and I. Our reward is our inheritance. It's heaven. God has given heaven as an inheritance to you and I. He's written our names in the will. Jesus says we ought to rejoice because of that. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. He says the gospel is the very power unto salvation. When the gospel is preached, the true gospel is preached, it's powerful to God's children. Because God speaks through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to your heart directly through the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel is the most mysterious thing that I've ever seen or heard of in this world. I'll just tell you that. And that is the truth. It is mysterious how it works. It's a mystery. But God, through the preaching of the gospel, he takes ordinary men and he causes them to speak in his name. It is the same. It is an equivalent to God causing a donkey to speak. Back in the Old Testament, remember that? He caused the donkey to speak. That just shows the great power of God. But what a mystery. What a mystery how God could take a sinful man and cause him to speak in his name. And that when that happens, that God speaks through the preaching of the gospel, the Holy Spirit speaks directly to your heart. Isn't that beautiful? Paul said it's the power of God. The preaching of the gospel is the power of God. I think about sometimes a wind, lightning bolts and things like that, and earthquakes, and that's a great power of God. Sure it is, but the preaching of the gospel is more powerful than that. It is such a mystery. It's the power of God unto salvation. Not saving you for heaven, but saving you right now. A now salvation. We talked about a now salvation about 2 years ago. We talked about it. The salvation of the gospel. What are some of the things that the gospel saves us from? Well, we looked at Romans chapter 10. It saves us from ignorance. It saves us from not understanding and from not knowing how it is that we attain righteousness before God. Do you know there's a lot of people in the world today that they really do not understand how it is a Christian stands righteous before God? They truly do not understand. They simply do not have the gospel knowledge. They're not saved by the gospel in that way because they don't know and don't understand. That's what Paul says, my heart's prayer and my desire and my heart's prayer to Israel is to God is that they might be saved, that they might receive this knowledge of how it is they can stand righteous before God. It's not the keeping of the law. It's by the righteousness of Christ. The gospel saves you from that ignorance. It's so powerful. The things that the gospel does, it saves us of that. It teaches us that we cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot work our way to righteousness before God. There's nothing we can do to climb back up that chasm that we fell. When Adam fell and he represented us and we fell from grace, we cannot work our way back and climb our way back on our own accord. The gospel tells us that. The gospel teaches us how to worship. Jesus said that his Father is looking. He is seeking those to worship him in spirit and in truth. Did you know God is seeking that? Jesus said his Father is seeking people to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's important that we worship in truth. You know what helps us to be able to worship in truth? It's the gospel. It's the preaching of the gospel that teaches us how to properly worship God. You know, people have a lot of ideas today. All over the world, they have ideas. There are still people today that offer animal sacrifices in this world, in other countries. That's not how you worship God. The gospel, if they could hear it and understand it and believe it, the gospel would teach them that. But there are even people all around us in our country today that have various ideas about how to worship God properly. The gospel takes care of it. The gospel teaches us how. Praying, preaching, and singing. That's what the early church, that's what the New Testament first century churches did. That's how they worshiped God. That's how we worship God today. Praying, preaching, and singing. That's it. We don't need animals. We don't need all these other accompaniments that people are bringing into the churches in such mass numbers. We don't need those things. The gospel's taught us how to worship God. God is seeking people that worship him in truth. The gospel can do that. The gospel is the power of God in that it teaches us about whenever a little child of God is born of God's Spirit at the act of regeneration. When that happens, you know what the first thing that a little child of God feels is? They feel convicted of their sins. Have you ever felt convicted of your sins? I know that you have. You know what that is? That is being born of God's Spirit. That is regeneration. That is the new birth. That's the first thing that happens to a child of God. They begin to know and understand, I am a sinner, I'm lost, and I'm undone before God. What should I do? They feel that conviction of the sins, of their sins. You know what the gospel will do for you? A person that's in that condition? The gospel will teach you about the atoning blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You begin to wonder, if you don't have any gospel knowledge, you just know that something has happened to you. I am not standing well before God. I feel to be a sinner. What should I do? Well, the gospel will teach you that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from your sins. It'll teach you all about the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, all about his perfect sacrifice of how he himself took his own blood and he entered in once into the holy place and he obtained eternal redemption for you. You know how you learned that? Through the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. If you're outside in the world and you're just bumbling and stumbling along and you never hear the preaching of the gospel, you'll never know those things. That's the power of God unto salvation. You talk about being saved. You're saved from ignorance of not knowing all of these different things and not knowing about the atonement of Jesus Christ. You're not knowing about how God saves his people. And furthermore, you would never know that God has forgiven you of your sins. A little child of God that's born of God's Spirit, and they begin to feel the conviction and the weight of their sins upon themselves. Unless you've heard the gospel, unless you know that the gospel teaches you that God has forgiven you of your sins, you'll never know it. You'll go around forever feeling the weight of your sins. And you'll always have it dragging you, slowing you down and retarding your progress and impeding you from living a peaceful and a happy and a joyous life, because you can't ever forget about your sins and your old sins of the past. But the gospel teaches you God has forgiven you of those. God takes those sins and he sews them up in a bag. He puts them as far as the east is from the west. God gets rid of those sins. The gospel tells you that. The gospel tells you. The other feeling you have is like in Acts chapter 2, when all of those people came together, they heard the preaching of the gospel. Oh yes, they heard the natural voice. They heard the speakers of that day. They heard the Apostle Peter preaching the gospel, but you don't want to know what really happened? God spoke to them through the Holy Spirit and spoke directly to their hearts, and it caused them to rise up and say, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? We're sinners. God is in heaven and he's righteous. What should we do?" You know what the gospel did? It taught them, repent and be baptized. And they can experience a now salvation. It could give them the answer of a good conscience. The new birth gave them a good conscience, and they want to know, what do I do now? You repent and you be baptized. The gospel will teach you about the importance and the beautiful saving grace of baptism and how it is an answer to your conscience of what you should do towards God. The gospel teaches us of all these things. Do you know there are some people today that are walking around? They literally are walking around today trying to figure out, who am I? Why am I here? If you don't ask me, just listen. Just pay attention, listen, maybe even ask a few people. There are people today trying to figure that out. Who am I and why am I here? Well, the gospel would teach you. The gospel could save you from not knowing the answer to those questions. The gospel would teach us that we ought to serve God. The purpose of our life, why has God placed us here, is to serve God and to praise and honor God and to serve one another, to love one another. That's why we're here. God's given you your bodies. He's given you your lives to serve and praise him. That's our job, to praise God. We're to occupy until he comes. Jesus is coming back, but in the meantime, we are to occupy until he comes. And to praise God. The gospel taught us that. We're to help others. I'll tell you something else the gospel will help you with. It's the fear of death. There's a lot of people today that have a great, great fear of death. You may have bumped into some. You may have met a few. You may have been to a funeral service and actually observed someone who was mourning and grieving as someone who had no hope. Maybe you've seen that. I certainly have. I've been a part of it. I've been around people who were like that. Thank goodness it was never any church people that I've ever known and been associated with. But you know why? Because the gospel teaches you and I about death and what happens at death. And teaches us that the moment we die, our soul and spirit is going to be with God in heaven. But everybody doesn't know that. There's a lot of people that have a great fear of death. The gospel will help calm your fears about that. There's people that are scared of and wondering about hell. They're scared about, they may not have done enough good to be able to go to heaven and they're scared that they might go to hell one day. You know what will break that up? You know what will teach those people better? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have to go around with the carrying the great burden upon us, worrying if we're going to go to hell, because Jesus Christ has saved us from that. The gospel tells us all about his sacrifice. All about the blood of Jesus is that which will keep us out of eternal woe and punishment in a lake of fire. The gospel tells us that. Is that not a great salvation? Is that not a great salvation? Is that not the power of God when we hear the gospel and we understand those things? A lot of people are worried about a judgment. They think they have a judgment coming at the end of their life. You know what the gospel taught us? Our judgment is now. We're being judged every day right now while we live. When we do good, God blesses us. When we do bad, God spanks us. And he corrects us with his rod of chastisement. I'm glad he does. It's not fun to be corrected, but I'm glad that he does. As a loving parent, God corrects us right now when we need it. Isn't that good to know? Aren't you glad to know that the day we die, that we don't have to go stand before God and have the scales of eternal justice be set out there and be judged in that way? See, a lot of people don't know that. The gospel saves you from not knowing that. It is so wonderful. It's the power of God. It'll save you from so much false understanding and false teaching and false doctrine. There are people today that they literally have no peace in their hearts because they do not have a clear understanding of how Jesus saves his people. Did you know that? There are quite a few people today. And I believe that many of them are the Lord's little children. There are people today, well, I say they're all the Lord's children, the ones that feel like this. There are people today that feel like they cannot have any peace in their lives because they feel like their job and their assignment is that they must try to go save the world for Jesus. Have you ever known anybody like that? There's a good chance every single one of us have people in our own natural families that believe that way. Almost every one of us have loved ones that probably believe that way. Some people, though, they are so burdened with it, they cannot even enjoy life because they think they need to be out trying to save people and help populate heaven. It is the saddest thing when you see that, is it not? They're doing it with good hearts. The reason they're feeling that way, the reason they care about other people, is because God's already in their heart. He's already born them of his spirit. That's why they care about other people. That's why they care about heaven, and they want all their loved ones, and they want all their friends to go to heaven with them. They're God's children, and they've been born of God's spirit. But they don't have the gospel knowledge of how God does it. And they don't understand that God has not charged you and I with helping him populate heaven. You know what gives you that understanding? The gospel, preached in power and in demonstration of the Holy Spirit, teaches us how God saves his people. It teaches us all about God's election, him electing and choosing his people. And God having a foundation that he started with, that he knows who his people are. And he started with that, and he chose and elected his people. And he predestinated them, and he called them, and he glorified, and he justified them. And all of those things that we've been looking at and talking about, you know what we learn from that? The gospel teaches us how God saves his people. And you and I can sleep at night. We can lay down and sleep at night and not worry that one of our beloved family members who we love dearly, that maybe we haven't done enough to try to help save them. It saves you from that burden. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He says, in fact, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. I'm not ashamed of it. He says the gospel is the very power of God unto salvation. The gospel is that that teaches us that God devised a means to save his people. We talked about that last week, that God devised a means that is banished, be not expelled from him. The gospel teaches us that. There's so many things. About out of time here. I'm not finished, but we're just out of time. Well, I'll have to leave you with one last thought then. The next verse, verse 17, says, speaking of the gospel being preached and the power of God unto salvation, both to Jews and Gentiles, he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Do you know who the preaching of the gospel is for? It's for people that already have faith. When that little light bulb goes off in your mind and you understand that concept, doesn't that save you from a lot of erroneous thoughts and erroneous teachings that are in the world around us? The gospel is only effective when it's preached from a person that has faith to another person that already has faith. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It's never revealed from faith to non-faith. It cannot work that way. It cannot do it. What did Paul say about the natural man? He said the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. If you take a natural man, an unregenerate natural man, and you try to go preach the gospel, it could be attended by the power of the Holy Spirit like it has never been attended before. It would have zero effect. You cannot preach to a natural man. All he hears is regular words with his regular ears. He does not have spiritual ears to hear with. That's what Paul's saying. He says they're foolishness. He says that he cannot receive the things, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. He says neither can he know them. Not neither will he know them. It's not that he has a choice and he refuses. He says neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned and he's not a spiritual person yet. You know what teaches us that truth? You know what teaches us that great piece of knowledge? The gospel. The gospel when it's preached in power. If I call you on the telephone, you have to have a phone to answer my call. If I send you an email, you have to have an email address for you to receive it. If I had a ham radio and I tried to call you on the ham radio, guess what? You have to have a ham radio to receive it. The preaching of the gospel is the same way. It's from faith to faith. Doesn't that clear up a lot of misunderstanding? It would clear up for a lot of people if they could just understand that one simple verse about the righteousness of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said, I'm ready to preach it wrong. Just get me there. Just let me get there. I'm ready to preach. But you know, if the gospel is ever preached, if you ever sit under the sound of the true gospel being preached, it's coming from within a man. It didn't come from books that he read. It didn't come from professors that told him things. It came from within a man. Because God put it there. And mystery of mysteries, how God takes the words that a man speaks, and the Holy Spirit takes those words and converts them into words that you hear with your spiritual ears and your heart. Mystery of mysteries. I will never understand exactly how the gospel works. But all I know is how thankful I am that God has devised a way that his people are taught, that his people are fed. He told Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. He didn't tell Peter to go make lambs and to make sheep and convert goats into sheep. He told him, feed my sheep. That's the job of God's ministers, feed the sheep. I'm thankful for the knowledge that God has given us. We'd never get these things on our own. We'd never understand this great depth of knowledge about the work of God and especially the work of our Savior Jesus Christ. We'd never get it on our own. But God, through this book and through the Holy Spirit, has taught us. Furthermore, we learn that God writes his laws in our minds and in our hearts. And he says, I'll be to them a God and they'll be to me a people. That's why you and I can go lay down at night and rest our head on our pillow and we can sleep as sound as a little baby, hopefully, when we understand that our task is not to go around to every man, his brother, and his neighbor and try to say, know the Lord and teach them to know the Lord. That's not our job. The gospel's taught us God does that all on his own. I thank you for your very good attention. May God bless and keep you this morning.